All right. 11:06, Pinpoint Health Show. Back at it. Dr. Lou is here. He's got a guest, and he's adjusting her headphones and her microphone.
Is that why he's wearing a jacket? He's never worn a jacket.
No, because he videotapes everything now.
Oh. Yeah, but I didn't set it up yet.
And Greg just left, so we all sat here.
We have to disinfect.
Yeah. It's like I need a Silkwood shower after this show. Hope you get the reference. God. You guys are all pretty young.
I didn't get that.
Okay, perfect.
Excellent. A Meryl Streep reference?
Thank you.
Yeah, but Jody's
somebody
old,
born
too.
In the 70s, at least. Jody's old, too. I just caught that. He also has control
How
of your microphone.
Jody?
How old are you, Jody?
A little older than you, but a little younger than John.
Oh, so everyone's younger than John.
Appreciate it. So what's up there, Mr. Pinpoint Health? How are things? Wow. The videos, by the way, fantastic. Loving your social media feed.
Thank you. Well done, sir. Yes. We continue to expand the amount of things that we have resources for people that listen to the show and just people in general that come to the clinics. And actually today we have a special guest on that front as well. And I'll introduce her in a second. And this is interesting because we've created another program, and this program is, I think, something that will be of great benefit to a lot of people. It's something that is very near and dear to me that I talk about all the time. And it was time to do something about that. And so one of the big things that we, and you know this, how important the psychosocial aspect of pain is for me, and how the way you think is really going to matter in how you feel. And that's been a huge thing that I've talked about on the show repeatedly over the years. It's something that I spend a ton of time speaking with at the office when I see patients. And really, for me, it was about figuring out, it's very easy to just tell somebody you need counseling, right? You need counseling. And then a lot of people, there's a stigma around that too, right? People don't want to necessarily go into counseling. So I spent a lot of time in my interactions educating people on the importance of this stuff. And we have here Daniela Gentile, who's a registered social worker. She's actually a very close friend of mine that I've known for, since we were in high school. So we went to different high schools, but we had mm-hmm. common friends. And she's a social worker, and we've spent over the years a lot of time speaking about how important this is, how important the psychosocial component is to chronic pain and injury. And over the last, I'd say about a year, we've been working on creating a program that we could give to people that is not long-term. That's something that we can just target right away in terms of giving people more the education that they need around chronic pain and the things that they can do to deal with that. So Daniela Gentile, who's here from Gentile Counseling Services, she's a Master of Social Work, and she got that at the University of Windsor. She's a registered social worker with the Ontario College of Social Workers and Social Services. She's currently working in community adult mental health, and she's completing assessments in that field and providing crisis intervention. So a ton of experience with these things. Daniela, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Luigi.
So we'll get to a little bit of the program, but when it comes to chronic pain, we've gone through this. When you look at the silos on how you target chronic pain, it's not, people are always thinking about the physical side because they're feeling it in their body. People are saying, well, my back hurts, my low back hurts. So they think it's just the physical problem, because the reality is you're feeling it in your back. Without going into great detail, because I could do lectures on this stuff about what neuropathic pain is, which is essentially, it's a learned behavior that happens as you experience something for so long. And as those connections continue to happen, sometimes in some instances, we actually quantify chronic pain as pain with the absence of a true physical problem, which means, well, if it's not a physical problem, where is it arising from? And the simple way to look at this is to say, well, it's all in your mind. And when people say that, it minimizes the importance of what we mean by that. This isn't just to say, oh, it's in your mind, as if it's just, something we're saying in passing. Well, that's a very important component. It is in your mind. Everything about you is in your mind. This, and for some reason, there's a stigma around this topic, and there's a way of thinking about this where you hear that term where it's in your mind and it's almost, and it seems like it's downplayed, but that is so very important because your mind is your motherboard to your whole body. If you shut your brain off, you'll feel nothing at all.
Right.
Doesn't matter. We could be burning your lower limbs off with a torch and you wouldn't feel absolutely anything because your mind is your processing system for everything that happens in our lives, including the things that we feel. In fact, there's no such thing as a pain receptor in our body. We have nociceptors, which will sense uncomfortable stimuli. So what happens is if my hand is over a flame, it's not necessarily that that flame is bothering my hand per se. It's the signals that are being sent from my hand to my brain, right, and then my brain sending back signals saying, ow, that hurts, move away. It's a response. And that's what chronic pain is. That's why when you're living with something for so long and you're not having it dealt with, those components, those physical components, that pathway keeps happening back and forth, and it creates a learned behavior. That learned behavior means that at some point you might still experience that pain without the actual flame there anymore, right? And I use the flame as the example, yeah, but things like chronic low back pain, chronic neck pain, any chronic issue. And so then there becomes this psychosocial component around that because then the area that processes these systems in the brain is also the area where we experience emotions and different things like that. So a lot of these things go hand in hand.
They become attached.
That's why maybe if you're having a bad day, you tend to feel worse physically. And we all know what that's like. Everyone can appreciate that if you're having a bad day or whatever, you just don't feel well. Equally so, if you are physically unwell, like if you have a cold, you mentally don't feel well because of the interconnected nature of these two things.
Gotcha.
I don't know why it's so taboo, but they are not separate. Your mind and your body are not two separate things. They work in harmony together. And so it's very, very important that we target the psychosocial side of things. And so that's what today's show will be primarily on. And we're happy to take people's questions. And we'll go more into this when we get back from break.
You bet. Your phone calls, bring them on. I know we got a lot to talk about in this regard. 416-870-6400-640 on cell. Pinpoint Health Show continues. Global News Radio. You can also go to pinpointhealth.ca, 1-855-821-55, Dr. Lou, D-R-L-O-U. Where the hell did that come from? I'm giving my own phone number out. I cannot help you with your health concerns. But and on social as well, Pinpoint Health, Facebook.
Or at John Scholes.
Or whatever, you know. I'll bounce over your videos onto my own social.
I heard you say that. I'm like, what number is he saying right now?
Maybe I should stop before I give the rest out. You are talking about the psychosocial aspect of pain, and every time we talk about this, I think about he passed away recently, a guy named Dr. John Sarna, who way back in the early 90s, 98, published several books about the mind-body connection and healing pain through the mind, and he was discounted by a lot of his peers, but here we are talking about it in real time in 2019, and this is legit.
And I think the difference for me is, you know, that I don't like the C word or the H word, which is curing or healing, because I think a lot of it is managing. And I think that's really where we're focused on, is the managing of these types of issues. But we have, I think, Linda on the line here.
You bet. Linda, thank you for calling in. How are you this morning?
You're welcome. I'm fine. Thank you. Yourself?
Good. What's your concern?
Great. Okay. I have this pain in my hip, sort of goes to my leg too, in one leg. Started yesterday and today, and it's whenever I sit or stand or do any move.
We lost you.
So you just lost you there for a sec, Linda. Whenever you sit or what?
Yeah, lay down.
Okay.
Or, you know, or move. Just when I go to walk, I feel like this severe pain, especially when I sit. Any pressure on it? Oh boy.
And
you know.
So, Linda, how old are you?
I'm 64.
Okay, and this is the first time you've ever felt this.
I've had slight pain. This is more severe. But, you know, off and on, right? And
they for how long?
How long? Oh, God, a couple of years, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, so this didn't just happen yesterday. It's something that is cumulative over a number of years. It's now getting worse because that's what happens with these types of issues. Over the last few years that you've been experiencing this type of pain, have you ever had it investigated?
Yes, I was told I have a slight arthritis in the hip because I had a broken hip as a child when I was 8.
Okay, well then that would probably cause a significant amount of arthritis at some point. So anytime you fracture, so are everything in our bodies degenerates for sure and becomes arthritic over time. It's a natural process of aging. But anytime there's a fracture in an area, those areas will degenerate quicker than an otherwise normal joint that never sustained that type of injury. So it's not unreasonable for me to assume right now that you've probably just progressed in that arthritic component of the hip. You have to have the hip investigated. Have you done anything for treatment? How do you manage this over the years?
It just started yesterday.
Well, you just said that it started years ago, though.
Oh, that? No, I didn't do anything because it was slight, sort of can tolerate pain.
But all big things start with something small. So it's probably the same issue. And now, this isn't just yesterday, over the years, for the small issue, have you ever done anything for it?
No.
That's the inherent problem there. It's always easier to deal with problems when they are smaller, because small problems usually require smaller interventions and big problems will require bigger interventions. So, I think your case highlights what I talk about a lot of times, which is early intervention with these types of things. That doesn't mean it's too late for you, but you do need to be looked at. I can't possibly tell you exactly what it is over the radio, but I'm happy to see you to assess it and see what options you have for treating it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Thank you, Linda.
For reaching out. Again, if you want to reach out, 1-855-55-DR-LOU. That's DRLOU, pinpointhealth.ca. Linda's the place to go. We will continue with your special guest. Danielle is here. We're going to open up your mind and educate you a little more over the next 40 minutes. Feel free to call in 416-870-6400, *640 on your cell. Pinpoint Health Show, Global News Radio. 1124, Pinpoint Health Show. You got your phone calls here for the remainder of this hour, 416-870-6400, *640 on cell. You want to reach out. It is pinpointhealth.ca.
Such a
fantastic
sad song.
New website. I know, it's Coldplay, right?
Yeah. It always makes me sad.
Oh, it's a total beam slinger, this one. Hey, Joanne, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I have a problem with my lower back left side.
Okay.
It's a muscle spasm.
Yep.
I can pinpoint, sorry.
No, that's the whole reason why we called it Pinpoint Health.
Awesome.
We want to be able to pinpoint.
Appreciate that, Joanne.
Yeah.
I can pick the spot exactly where it begins, the muscle spasm.
Yep.
The doctor can't get rid of it. Nothing shows in x-rays. And I can relieve it a bit if I lift. I have to lie down with my legs elevated. But it's gotten to the point I can't walk very well. And now it's like, at times, it's like someone's taking my skin and ripping it off that spot.
So you said the doctor can't take it away. What has the doctor done for you?
With medication.
Yeah,
with
so
any medication.
Okay, and then and you've had x-rays. So right off the bat, so number one, when it comes to low back, is this the first time you've ever experienced low back pain, or this is you have a more chronic history of this?
No, this has been ongoing. I have a lot of things wrong with an accident, but I can withstand the other things that are wrong with me with medication, but this I cannot. It is just horrible. And when the ripping skin thing started, it's nothing will take that away except time. I have to wait.
So this is related to some type of an accident, like a car accident or something?
It was a fall, but I have Crips and I have Mallory Weiss from medication and vomiting. So I bled out and almost died a couple of times. So it's just other things, but they can be controlled, but this cannot, and I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, so I mean,
it helps a little bit.
Yeah, so it's very important to understand that when you have other comorbidities and other things going on, it makes low back pain not just low back pain, it's now low back pain with other things going on. The other thing that I could tell you is that low back pain doesn't respond very well to medication. X-rays often are not a good diagnostic tool for it, unless there's the worry of fracture or something like that. So, you know, it doesn't sound like, in my opinion, you've done, not because of your own fault, but I would say that no real intervention has been given at this point. I think a thing that I always say here on the radio is physical problems often need a physical intervention. And it doesn't sound like you've had that. So, I mean, that might be somewhere to go towards. Then it's also about physical intervention, meaning like sometimes it's about activity levels. Are you very active or are you not active?
Well, I try to be, but this kind of waylays everything. I'm mostly lying down now because...
Well, how long have you been lying down for?
About the last year.
Yeah,
but
so...
I still go out and do
our
things,
bodies,
but...
so that is one... Anybody that's ever been sick with a cold, and anybody here in this room, if you've ever had to spend a day in bed because you've been just so knocked out with the flu... How do you feel after that, John? Like your body the day after? You feel horrible.
Oh,
our bodies are not meant to lay in bed. Bed rest is almost never, ever prescribed when it comes to pain. Maybe when it comes to other things like cardiovascular things, sure, but that's not my area of expertise. But to be laying in bed for the last year, it is not a surprise to me that you have a chronic issue in your low back right now, because that's not doing yourself any favor. You need to become active. You have to become active in the right way. Now, I'm not saying just get up and go do your own stuff. This is where a professional part of your healthcare team needs to be helping you with these things, what you should be doing. But bed rest for this type of stuff is the absolute worst thing. And if you continue that, you will only get worse. And so I think you need to see someone that can help you towards activity, exercise, and those things. And that will be a million times better than any medication you can take for what you got going on.
Okay, may I just ask though?
Yep.
I can understand the muscle spasm, but why does it show itself as like someone ripping skin off my back in that one
spot? So when someone describes that type of sensation, I start to think of, so our body is all nerves. There's nerves that supply our muscles. There's nerves that supply our skin for sensation called cutaneous nerves. When you start to say that it feels like your skin is being ripped and burned, that to me sounds like cutaneous nerves are being impinged on. And again, if you are laying most of the day, it makes sense that those nerves are probably under a lot of pressure constantly. You're also not moving around. Our muscles are meant to move. So all of a sudden, when you do go to move to do something, your muscles have to exert more force than they otherwise would. They're not used to it. So it... to me, it's just a sequelae of everything that's happening. That's why you're getting this type of burning and ripping pain. It's because your body is essentially breaking down by not doing anything. And then in the moments that you do have to do something, it's sort of like when people are put in a cast, let's say they fracture their arm, like when that cast comes off and you look at the size of their muscles, it's completely atrophied. And you can't just ask them, hey, go do this or go do that. They have to rehabilitate that because it's disuse atrophy. That's what you're undergoing. You're undergoing disuse atrophy by not doing anything. Those muscles are getting smaller. They're becoming weaker. And you need those muscles to support structures, to do things. And then when you go do things, you don't have the proper muscular endurance and strength to do it. And you'll feel all of those things.
Okay. Thank you very much for explaining that.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Joanne. Appreciate your time. You want to reach out again, 1-855-55-DRLOU, Dr. Lou, or pinpointhealth.ca. That is the new website. Looking great. Lots of stuff on there. And follow it on social media as well. For the remainder of the show, you know the number, 416-870-6400, *640 on cell. Pinpoint Health Show, Global News Radio. Pinpoint Health Show, you'll want to follow on Instagram and Facebook as well. Some great stuff to be learned there as well. When the show's not on, 1-855-55-DRLOU. Dr. Lou is the way to get a hold of. Tim, thanks for hanging on there for a minute. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, sir. What's up?
All right, so I have I wouldn't say it's back pain. It's just, it is. It's on my right, but just below the lower back. I don't know if it's muscles or what. Maybe about a month and a half ago, I was at the gym, and I was doing squats, and somehow maybe I twisted my muscle. So the pain goes and comes. Sometimes there's no pain. Sometimes it's just minor. Sometimes it's so bad that I can't even stand up. And normally it comes when I'm sitting, usually, not when I'm sleeping or walking.
Yep.
And the funny part is sometimes I go to the gym and I still do squats. I don't feel the pain, and the pain goes away, but the next day it will come back. So when I'm moving, it goes away, but I'm not moving or sitting a lot. And I do a lot of sitting because I do a lot of driving, especially in the car. It just comes back. And right now I'm feeling it on my right side, just the lower part, like the whole right foot and everything, including all of it to my knee. I can feel the pain right now as we speak.
Okay, and so my first question is, what have you done about it so far?
I checked some. I went to my family doctor. I told them about the problem. They said it's, they couldn't figure out what the problem is. They said it's not the bone. It could be the, like a muscle or something.
Okay.
They didn't give me any advice or anything I should do. They just said take some Advil or something like that, but I don't like taking medication.
Yeah, no, and that's the wrong advice. It's actually quite upsetting every time I still hear this stuff. So I was just saying to the previous caller, physical problems need a physical intervention. The algorithm for this type of stuff is that if there's no indication of trauma, things like that, x-rays are normal, then you should be doing therapy. This type of stuff will respond to therapy, especially early on. And so I think you need to get therapy. Then in terms of a long-term approach, it needs to be very much focused on rehabilitation. And once you can rehab the structures of the back, you can likely prevent reoccurrences, or at least minimize the chance of reoccurrence, minimize the intensity of the reoccurrence, minimize the frequency and duration. So I just think you've been given the wrong advice to this point, that medication is not the answer for this type of stuff, and being passive and not doing anything about it is not the right answer either. You need to be seeing someone who specializes in treatment for this type of stuff, like a chiropractor or a physiotherapist. And Pinpoint Health, I'll be biased and give us a shout out here. This is absolutely the type of stuff that we can deal with. So I think you should give me a call, and we can set you up to see somebody, and you probably will do very well with it.
So that's great. I'll definitely gonna do that, because I'll think about that. But I still kind of confused. Why is it like that? Like, when I'm sitting as we speak, I can feel a pain, and sometimes way too much. But yet when I'm moving around or doing exercise, which I should feel even worse, but I don't.
No, you're assuming that you should feel worse, and that assumption is wrong. The reality is that when you have muscular issues, once you're moving around doing things, those muscles will actually loosen up and feel better. And our bodies are dynamic, so they should be moving around doing things. And in those moments, the tissue will have warmed up, there'll be flexibility that is created, and you will feel better. It's actually in times of static postures, like sitting and sleeping, that these types of issues can feel worse. So again, this is why working with a professional is very important, because the general assumption is often wrong. This is not inherent knowledge, but we as a medical profession understand that actually is what we, like, those are the things I listen for when I speak to somebody. When they say, oh, it feels better when I move around, but when I'm not doing anything, it actually hurts more. To me, right away, that screams a muscular or a mechanical issue. And the reason is because the mechanics of your body, when you're moving, start to loosen up. And when you're not doing anything, they're going to stiffen up. And then, there's other things, like if it's a disc issue, discs are under more pressure with flexion. So sitting is more flexion. So there's a lot of things. This is why a proper investigation, history, physical exam is so important. And you shouldn't be making assumptions. And I don't mean just you, but anybody. Just, people always say, oh, I have back pain, so it's back pain. Well, you're just saying you have a symptom. The reality is figuring out, well, what's causing that symptom? What is the structure? What is the problem? Because a lot of things can cause back pain.
It's the fever scenario, right?
Correct. Yeah. If you had a fever and you said, oh, I have a fever. Okay, well, what's causing the fever?
Right.
Is it an infection? Is it a malignancy? Is it an autoimmune disease? And all of those same things exist for back pain. Is it mechanical? Is it a malignancy? Is it an infection? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But your symptoms to me definitely sound mechanical. I can't, be 100% certain without examining you. But I think when you have these mechanical, physical problems, you require mechanical physical intervention, like any type of therapy. And when you're not doing that, then I think nothing right is being done at that point.
Yeah, no, because I'm only 35 years old. Like, I can take the pain right now and I can move around, but
yeah, but you shouldn't, because it will get worse. And then when you're 45, this is the last caller talked about, like a chronic injury, like from a slip and fall, and where it progressed to, and she's been in bed for the last year. This is what happens with chronic pain. This is what can happen when it's not dealt with properly. It can start like these simple things that people say, yeah, it just bothers me sometimes, it's not too bad, and then it gets worse and worse. And all three calls today has sort of been something like that. The first caller about the hip, well, it was yesterday, but then once I investigated more, it's like, well, no, it's been there for years. So it's not yesterday, it's just getting worse because you've done nothing about it. And that's the reality for you, Tim, is you're 35, which is good. So you have good prognostic factors. You get it taken care of now. That's good. If you just leave it, then the unfortunate reality based on the evidence is that you'll likely just get worse and worse over the years. And that's the importance of early intervention.
No, definitely. That's why I want to get into it right away. And I believe you guys have a location in Toronto too, right?
Give me a call and we'll set something up for you.
Tim, appreciate it. Again, reach out. It's pinpointhealth.ca, 1-855-55-DRLU, D-R-L-U. Get on it, man. You're still young. Be proactive. Lots more of the Pinpoint Health Show is on the way. Global News Radio. It sure is. 11:43. You want to reach out on social, Pinpoint Health, and info@pinpointhealth.ca as well to email. Lots of good stuff there. So finally, I think now we can get to Daniel.
I got an email first.
Okay, right. Almost, Daniel. Stand by.
Judy is listening, and she just sent this email. I'm listening to your radio show this morning in relation to neuropathic pain, i.e. sciatica, which is wrong. That's not neuropathic pain. That's radicular pain. And I'm writing to ask what the difference is between a degenerative disc condition and a herniated disc, either of which can cause such pain. So what Judy is asking about is, forget the term neuropathic, because neuropathic is a different thing. What we're talking about is radicular pain, when you have pain going down a nerve, so like a sciatic nerve, right? And Judy is asking, when you have sciatic problems, you can either get those types of symptoms by degenerative disc disease or from a disc herniation, which is right. You can also sometimes get it from muscular problems, from ligamentous problems, but let's stick with the two that she's asking about. She's saying both can potentially cause it. Yes, you're right with that. What is the difference? The difference is understanding the pathology. Our bodies degenerate over time. So degenerative disc disease that puts pressure on a nerve is often is a form of stenosis, which we've talked about. So stenosis is something that is more common in the elderly, because that's when degeneration will have had a significant enough impact to impinge on the nerve. Whereas a disc herniation happens when those discs rupture for whatever reason, which they are more hydrated earlier in your life, right? Because that's why you degenerate. Those things dehydrate and then you start to degenerate. So age is one thing. So if I see a 20-year-old that has excruciating sciatic pain, I'm more likely to think of a disc herniation or disc bulge just by that nature. If I have someone who's 75 and they have shooting pain down their leg, I'm more likely to consider the degenerative component that's impinging on it. So that's one quick way. There's a lot of other different ways, but just for Judy who's listening, to sort of give her a little bit of information there. So thank you for the email.
And sciatica, as well as general terms that people like, I have sciatica.
But Judy actually understood that. She actually mentioned, like, she understands that sciatica is like fever, like we've talked about. What is causing that sciatic nerve to be irritated? And she's saying it could potentially be disc herniation or degenerative disease. Right. How can you potentially distinguish those? And one quick way is just generally based on age, but there's a lot. That doesn't mean that disc herniations never happen in the elderly, and it also doesn't mean that degeneration can't affect a young person, because the example is if a young person has very severe autoimmune disease leading to some type of a seronegative arthritide, which is a form of arthritis due to an autoimmune disease, you can get the degenerative component.
Right.
So now I'm getting too complicated.
It's okay. It's education, brother. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your concern, pal?
I have been diagnosed with a hip labral tear.
Okay.
And I've had a hyaluronic injection done to it, which was $600 out of my pocket.
Yep.
And then that did nothing. And then I also had a cortisone injection, which did nothing.
How old are you, Peter?
49.
How was the labral tear diagnosed? MRI?
MRI, yeah.
Yeah. In my experience, and I'm never one, I mean, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but I'm always, when I look at the spectrum of interventions, I always like to go from most conservative measures, like therapy, to more invasive measures, like injections, all the way to surgery. In my experience, and based on the research with hip labral tears, surgery seems to be the best thing. Therapy injections don't often work. So if I were you and it's bothering you that much, I would consider having that conversation with the surgeon and potentially having surgery on it.
Well, I have had the conversation. I was just concerned with the surgery because my thinking is that if those things didn't work, is the pain really coming from the labral tear or is it something else? I don't know.
Well, right. I mean, I would have to assess that in order to give you the answer on that. Assuming that it is coming from the labral tear, then yes, all else being equal within surgery, because again, there's a lot of things risk of infection. But if we eliminate all of those things, which are often very, very low, for a true labral tear that is symptomatic in the hip, I have found in my experience and based on the research that I've reviewed that it seems to work well when people have the surgery.
Okay, good.
Okay, but I'm happy to assess that for you, to give you a second opinion in terms of, you know, your thinking is not wrong. I actually am impressed that you're thinking that way, that people, it's not always about what the image shows. It's about how can we determine based on the physical exam if what the image shows is actually the pain-generating structure. So I actually appreciate the way you're thinking, and I think that that's important that you do correlate those two things, and I'm happy to help you with that.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. Reaching out again, 1-855-55 Dr. Lou, DRLOU. Now.
Now.
Finally.
We'll have Daniela back. Don't worry.
We will. But for the most part.
But this is important because we've created, you know, a program through Gentile Consulting Services and also the Pinpoint Health brand, a strategy for coping with pain. And essentially what it is, and this is great for anybody. It's something that Daniela can help do through the phone. This doesn't have to be in person. It's essentially 3 hours, not all at once, but three separate hours.
Okay.
With Daniela and I have worked on what each of those hours entail, which is a lot of education in that hour with the patient working on different strategies. The person will then go do the homework that is required, then follow up with session two, same thing, and then follow up with session three. And again, this is not counseling. Daniela is not taking you under her care as a counselor. What she's doing is providing the information that is required to understand how important the mind is in what you feel. So we have different topics for each day. We have acceptance and distraction on day one with the first hour. We then go on to social relationships in day two, or I say day two, that doesn't need to be one day after the other.
Consecutive, yeah.
And then on the third hour is activities of daily living and the things that go with it. And so, you know, when we start at the top with acceptance and distraction, you know, people have heard me say a lot on the show that sometimes it's also about, you know, I see a lot of chronic pain patients that are sitting there and I'll put this bluntly, are unfortunately just feeling sorry for themselves. And that creates this negative spiral that they go down into because they're feeling sorry for themselves. Poor me. Why me? Only me. Yep. It doesn't affect anyone else. And sometimes it's about like, hang on a sec. It's not just you. And even if it is you at this point, it is what it is. You just feeling sorry for yourself is not going to help you. It does not help. And so that's an important component. Is there anything you wanted to add, Daniela?
So in addition to that, it would be about self-empowerment and understanding what is helpful for you and looking through all of that, because I think that people know themselves best. So.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, and then we go on to other topics like distraction. That's what Jody's telling us.
He's distracting it.
Yeah.
See, it worked already. It's magic.
Okay, more to come after the break.
That's right. We'll take a short break. You want to squeeze in a final phone call or two? For sure. 416-870-6400, *640 on cell. Pinpoint Health Show, Global News Radio. It is 11:55 for your last few minutes of the show for this week. Pinpoint Health Show. You'll want to reach out otherwise. info@pinpointhealth.ca. Pinpointhealth.ca is the website. Lots on social as well, as far as Instagram and Facebook. I keep plugging it each week because you're doing some phenomenal stuff up there with your team.
Thank you. Thank you.
With the videos and the instructions and the cool stuff on there. And 1-855-55-DRLOU, DRLOU is the number.
And those exercises for our listeners, these are things that are tailored for all age groups. This isn't something that is just for high-end athletes or anything. But again, going back to having Daniela here, Gentile, who's here from Gentile Consulting Services, that's working in conjunction with Pinpoint Health on a new program that we're offering, which is essentially a three-session over-the-phone educational format with Daniela on the importance of different types of mental health techniques for managing people's pains. And one of the things here that, and we sort of heard it, and maybe Daniela, you want to add something about this, but as people start to have these things, there's a component of social isolation where they very much close themselves in and they just become hyper-focused on themselves, which is also why their pain amplifies. And one of the strategies that we are implementing is about social relationships, about taking yourself out of that isolation. How important is how much we're not meant to be socially isolated as human beings, right, Daniela?
Absolutely not. And I completely agree with that. I heard that through other calls earlier where people are isolating themselves and then they're disconnecting from people who care about them. They're disconnecting from even maybe their formal supports, right? Where professionals, other doctors, and whoever else they
see. And I have found a lot with chronic pain people. I've met people that, you know, when you talk to them, it's, if it's a chronic low back pain case as an example, and, you know, I don't see my doctor anymore. I don't see my therapist anymore. It doesn't help. And you hear I think one of our callers, I've heard things of, I spend most of my days at home in bed. And that component, never mind from the physical perspective, because we're now talking about the mental perspective, which is why you're here. But that social isolation, that's what...
become shut-ins.
That's what jail is. Like, we've created ways to punish criminals, and it's called a social isolation. So when you do it to yourself, all you're doing is making yourself worse. I know someone that, you know, essentially was hurt in a car accident and started developing these chronic issues, stopped working, stopped being around people, was just at home, and just felt miserable, crying all the time, depression. And for them, it's like, why is this happening? And they think it's related to just the car accident, but it's also related to the fact that you've decided to isolate yourself. As Daniela and I were driving down today, we were talking about ourselves. I have chronic spine issues that I've had since I was probably in grade 8. So we're talking 20 years or something. And Daniela has a chronic TMJ issue that flares up on her. But we were talking about what is the difference? Like, where do people like Daniela and I, we're still doing what we need to do in our day-to-day lives? And then other people that have these similar experiences, you right. hear these things like we've heard, like that they're isolated, that they're not doing anything anymore. And I think it comes down to Daniela and I are managing it, but we don't just manage it by Daniela gets therapy on her jaw. I do the rehabilitation that I need to do for my spine. That's one component of it. But I think the other component is we're social creatures. We have relationships, and that gives us an importance. And so it's very important that these relationships that are in your life, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's also the component of when people have unhealthy relationships and how negative that can be towards the things that they're suffering with.
Absolutely. And I think that's where looking at this program and like coping skills and who is helpful to you, who is not, what can you do, where can you reach out to when you need help?
Yeah. And I've heard of people that come in and they're talking about how that unsupportive relationship they may have, how it actually makes them feel worse. Oh, that person's always telling me that I'm faking this and I'm doing this. And of course, that's going to create this negative spiral that goes all the way down. And so social relationships are a big component of that. And that's one of the components of what we're doing with it. And we'll have Daniela back on to talk more
Absolutely.
About our program.
You bet. And we'll do that at a later date. But in the meantime, you'll want to reach out 1-855-55-DRLOU, DRLOU, and pinpointhealth.ca. Till next time, the Pinpoint Health Show right here, Global News Radio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.